It's amazing how quick the service goes when you gotta preach. This morning I'll be speaking on anger. Chose this topic because something that I think we can all relate to. Anyways, we'll start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and the songs that we could sing of your love and of your sacrifice for us. We thank you that you have made us new in you and have given us new life. I just pray that you would be with us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to focus, help me to speak clearly and to speak the truth. I just pray these things in your name. Amen. A young employee plays golf with his boss. Every time his boss makes a good shot, the dog of the boss stands on his back paws and claps enthusiastically with his front paws. So the young man asks, surprised, "How did you teach him? And what does he do when you miss?" Boss says, "Oh, he rolls over." "Rolls over?" the young employee asks. "How many times does he roll over?" Well, the boss says, "Oh, it depends on how many times I kick him," the boss answers. So hopefully there's not too many dog lovers out there, but anyways. Anger is universal. It's something that we can all relate to. I think in our society that we all have our stereotypes of people that are angry, different cultures that we look at, like Italians, for instance. You look at it, think of an Italian people, and they're known for their temper, or Irish people, and they like to fight. Russians, don't cross them, you might get shot, you know. We all have these stereotypes, but when we really think about it, we all deal with anger, and we can't really narrow it down to just one culture or different races that struggle with anger. We all struggle with anger. A quote, I can't remember who this was, but I got this note here that I jotted down when I was studying. "Anyone can become angry. That is easy, but to be angry with the right person at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that is not within everyone's power, and that is not easy." Isn't that so true? We so often get angry very easily and not always at the right time and with the right people. So everyone experiences anger. I believe anger is the most misunderstood human emotion. And some of you teenagers may think, you know, love is the most confusing emotion out there, but anger is the most misunderstood. Anger is an emotion that we often think of as a problem. We downplay anger and sometimes don't call it what it is. We'll say, "Oh, I'm not angry. I just don't agree." Or, you know, "I'm not angry with that person, they just hurt me," or "I just feel hurt." We do this because we look at anger as a negative emotion. And I think this is because of how we often deal with our anger. We struggle with it, and so we don't want to accept it for what it is, an emotion. We associate our reaction to the emotion and look at the whole experience of anger in our lives as a negative one. I know I've been known to do that. I just, when I think anger, I don't think of a positive thing. I think of it as a negative. I think we should see anger as a gift from God. There are lots of positive examples of the outcome of properly used anger. For example, in the Bible, the Ninevites and Jonah, when God sent Jonah to them to tell them to repent, God relented of his anger, and they repented. And I think even in history, in more recent times, we can also see evidence of anger as being a positive and having positive outcomes when it's dealt with properly. I think of Martin Luther and how the Catholic Church was misusing the Word of God and how he must have been somewhat angry about that and dealt with it in a godly fashion. And also, I look back even in closer times, and I think of organizations like even unions, when they were started out, maybe they're not something that we like to think of as good things all the time now, but when they started out with good intentions because people were being mistreated and people were angry about that. Mothers against drunk driving, another example of mothers that were angry that their children were hit and killed by drunk drivers. So I think we can look at a lot of organizations that have started because they saw injustice in the world, which provoked them to anger, and in turn they have reacted with compassion and have spoken for change and have taken action. So anger should be seen as a gift, not as sin itself. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin." Anger is also the most mismanaged emotion. Something that we don't react to properly a lot of the time. To begin to understand how to deal with anger, we need to understand the origin of anger and the purpose of anger. Anger is an attribute of God, and because we were made in His image, we also experience anger. Why does God experience anger? I'm going to look at a couple of references here. 1 Peter 1 verse 16 says, I'll give you a chance to turn there if you guys would like to turn there. Turn to 1 Peter 1:16. We'll do a little bit of flipping around here. It says, "Be holy, because I am holy." Psalm 7, verse 11. You can turn there too. It says, "God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day." Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." And so with this, we see a range of emotions. We also see that God is holy. Because God is just and holy, and because He loves us so much, He also has the emotion of anger. When we sin against Him, in spite of knowing His love and His holiness, we cause God to become angry. When God becomes angry, He takes action. Nahum 1 verse 3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. He will not leave the guilty unpunished." In the Old Testament, we see how God uses His anger to correct the Israelites, His chosen nation. But we also see that He is very gracious and not quick to anger. He calls them to repentance. He sends prophets to warn them, and just like Jonah. So God first warns and is patient, wanting people to come to repentance. So His anger is a trigger. We'll get into that a little bit, but anyways. God has given each of us, so the purpose of anger. So now we know that anger is originated in God. Because we're made in His image, we also have anger, and it's meant for good. Purpose of anger. God has given each person a moral understanding of right and wrong. The purpose of anger is to motivate us to constructive action when we see wrongs in life. Not to have a negative impact when we get angry, to deconstruct, to tear apart, but we're to be constructive. We're supposed to build up, make a godly action for these wrongs that we see. For example, Jesus took action at the temple in Luke 19, in verses 45 and 46. He saw the wrong things that were happening at the temple there. And I believe His anger stemmed from His holiness and justice and His love for His Father. He took the emotion of anger and recognized the reasons for His anger and acted in a way that brought about the Father's purposes. In the same way, we need to see the emotion of anger as an opportunity to respond in a way that will right the wrongs in life. Anger is to be, is when we feel that something is wrong. We see something wrong, whether it's against us or it's whether against somebody else, causes us anger, and God put that in us so that we would react whether we need to turn to him for wisdom in how to respond to that. And sometimes we know right away what we need to do, whether we need to approach people and make reconciliation when we sin or when we've been sinned against. There's two types of anger, basically. Something that we probably don't take a lot of time to consider. I think that often in anger, we don't really do a lot of thinking. A lot of the time, we react very quickly and we don't take time to consider what we're getting angry about. But there's basically two types of anger. There's the first type of anger that I want to look at is definitive anger. This is a type of anger that can be justified. We feel this anger when we see wrongs in our life. When somebody sins against us, or maybe you witness somebody being sinned against or watch somebody do something wrong, sometimes we're even angry at ourselves when we sin. When we experience this type of anger, we need to take action. We need to recognize the reason for the anger and seek to resolve with the person or persons involved. So when we have this anger that is justifiable, that is the kind of anger that God intended us to respond to in a proper way and to... So we need to forgive people that have sinned against us and not harbor bitterness. You know, some people you can really tell that they're holding a lot of anger inside. Maybe, for example, if you might be one of those people, if you're one of these people that, you're at a stop sign and this old lady's crossing and just taking their sweet time and you're just getting mad, you know. You might be somebody who has a lot of anger built up when you don't have patience for people, or maybe you let little things get to you. So anger is something that we need to deal with right away, and that is said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger." We need to ask forgiveness when we sin against people. Sometimes this anger that we experience is at ourselves. We get angry when we sin, and if we hold that in, or if we hold anger in against people that have sinned against us, it's not going to get better, and it'll just damage our relationships with people. If we try to justify our sin and anger, it will make us callous. Sometimes we try to justify the sin in our lives, and because we can say, well, that person did this to me and I'm angry about that. But 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So these are examples of definitive anger that we can see that something wrong has happened, and we need to take care of it. In the cases of injustices we see in the world, we need to be active in prayer, seeking God's help and wisdom to take action. Anger is not intended for us to react in vengeance, to repay the wrongdoer out of our anger. Sometimes we want to take things into our own hands when we see things going on in the world or in our lives. Romans 12, verse 19 says, "Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." So there we looked at definitive anger. There's another type of anger that we have, and this is distorted or human anger. This is the kind of anger that comes from our human nature, our old self, the old man. And this is the kind of anger that we feel when our needs are not met in the way we think they should be, or maybe things don't go our way, or maybe someone unintentionally lets us down. For example, let's say, Candace tells me in the morning, "Yeah, we're going to have this for supper tonight," and I come home later on in the day, and at the end of the day, and supper isn't ready, it's not. And the plans changed, and we're not having what I thought we were having. You know, I guess I could really look at it and say, man, she lied to me. She deceived me. But no, we need to recognize and take consideration that maybe we're overreacting, and this anger that we're feeling there is is distorted. It's not right. And in those situations, we need to act in grace and understanding. So this is a selfish kind of anger. Another kind of anger I briefly spoke about is sometimes we get angry at ourselves. Sometimes we get angry at ourselves for no good reason. We get angry when we mess up, or not necessarily in a sin, but sometimes we get angry when we just do something that is a mistake. You know, maybe we underachieved in something. We didn't meet up to somebody's expectation, and we get angry at ourselves. And those are things that we do need to confess and bring them to God, because I don't think they're not sin, but they're things that we shouldn't feel, and so we still need to take care of them before God. In James chapter 1, let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Okay, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And my translation says wrath, but it's also translated anger. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So James tells us that this human anger that we have doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. We need to transform our minds in order to overcome this selfish anger and confess when we become angry about things that are selfish and immature. Romans 12, verse 2. Let's turn there for a second. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And also Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Speaking of this human anger that we sometimes have, I think that one thing that we can really see all throughout Scripture is we need to be slow to anger and not have that initial reaction. We need to have anger that is founded in things that are justifiable. And so with that, we'll carry on. So we've looked at the two types of anger, looked at the origin of anger, and we realize that anger is something that we all deal with. Now we can look at how to deal with our anger. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Dealing with anger. We need to restrain our anger. Anger is intended to help to discover a wrong that's been committed. When our mind is renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit, anger is triggered by a definitive action that is wrong. It helps us to recognize right from wrong. It's like that, you know, it helps us to see when something's wrong. Without anger, do you think we would really be able to distinguish what's right and wrong in the world? I think that we need to be angry about some things that we see. We need to be angry about sin in our lives and sin in other people's lives. But we need to restrain that anger. It should basically be an emotion that we feel, just like any other emotion that we feel. We need to control it. It should be like a little bell in our head telling us something's wrong, then allowing us to make a decision and decide on a course of action. We need to restrain our anger. Don't follow it down the path. Processing anger. Anger is not intended for us to enjoy the feeling. Sometimes I think I enjoy being angry. I think sometimes we might all feel that way, you know. We just like to, you know, be angry about something, you know. Man, the government doesn't know what they're doing, or you know, I can't think of anything right off the top of my head. Normally it comes really quickly, but I think I had some examples here, but I erased them because I thought it was a little too... Anyways, we all know what that's like. And sometimes it's like, you know, being angry itself, it's almost like it gives us this false sense of purpose. You know, it's like, this is my purpose in life, to be angry at these things, but we don't really do anything about it. It's just, we know it's wrong, and, you know, that almost seems to be good enough for us, just to know something's wrong, and, you know, let's just preach it, you know? Sometimes I think I can be a judge and just be angry with the situation. We need to restrain our anger. That means doing whatever it takes to maintain self-control. Maybe walking around the block, going outside, maybe rolling around in the snow today. You know, sometimes we just need to separate ourselves from the situation and cool down. We can only control and restrain our anger with the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's something that I think I need to key on here, is that this isn't something that we can do in our own strength. I think people... counselors out there, they're secular counselors, are trying to teach people how to control their anger, and they key on, you gotta get in touch with your feelings, and, you know, you gotta just get used to, this is how you are, you know, you're gonna have to learn to accept your anger, and you need to learn how to control it. But really, God's word is clear that anger is... there's a prescribed way to deal with anger that we have, and anger is from God, and there's a clear method to deal with it. So there's this matter of processing our anger. So when we process our anger, we need to recognize whether it's definitive anger or distorted anger. So this distorted anger is something that we're going to recognize if we are living our lives for Christ, and we're having our minds transformed. Without this transformation, we will continually struggle with controlling our emotions. If we go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, I'll get you to turn there. This is not the... I got the wrong reference here, I think. I've got the wrong reference here. I got the verse written down, so maybe somebody can tell me which verse this is. I can't think of it off the top of my head. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Can somebody find that for me here? Ten five. Ah, dyslexia. Yes, okay. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so this battle takes place first in our minds, in our hearts, then it can have an impact in our relationships and how we deal with people. And so we have... so hopefully today I hope I've touched on some things that you have maybe not given that much consideration to, and anger is a gift from God. It's not to be looked at as a negative. We're supposed to handle it in a godly way. I think the Old Testament and the New Testament is amazing how much it's dealt with in there. It's not something that we don't have any resources on in God's Word, that we can study it and we can understand how to respond in the way that we need to. And I hope that as we experience anger in our lives, that we respond in ways that would build the kingdom, not tear the kingdom down, that we would keep our relationships with people clear. And I think that's an area where we so often hold, we don't know how to deal with it, so we hold this anger and we don't, it's there to help us to take care of things, not to resent people or to harbor bitterness, but to make reconciliation. And I think if we live our lives in this way, that we can be a good example to people and show them how to handle anger in their lives. And with that, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. You can pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you that we can be here together. We thank you for the snow that's falling, and we've waited for it for a while, and we just thank you for your word and how it can transform our hearts and our minds, Lord. Pray that we would take to heart, Lord, the things in our lives that we struggle with, Lord, that we would turn them over to you, that we would seek to recognize them for what they are and for the challenges that they are, and that we would trust you with them. Lord, we pray that you would give us patience and grace, help us to be long-suffering and patient, help us to use anger to respond to people and to do something about the things and the injustices we see in our world, and I just pray these things in your name. Amen. And you guys are dismissed.